fine. And then I realised what the title was yesterday, and it's great, isn't it? Sensing the Spirit's breath. And somebody said something about chains. Dave, you had something about chains, and especially hanging on to chains from the past. And that's something which God gave me to include in the talk. So that's just... Okay. Why am I hearing it so loudly? Okay. Oh, it's ridiculous. Sorry, it's so loud. I'm just going to keep talking until Graham's nodding, because he's... Is that better, Graham? Graham, is that... Oh, that's better, isn't it? That's loads better. Thank you. So we've had the resurrection today. Been focusing on the resurrection. And next Sunday morning, David is going to be speaking on John 20. So I'm just going to read the verse that he is going to speak on, because I'm not going to say anything about it, because he's preaching on it. So it's this verse, John 20... when the disciples, it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. They were in great fear. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace, peace be with you." After he said that, he then showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I don't know if they knew anything about the Holy Spirit. All I know is they were really fearful. I'm not going to preach, I promise you. I'm going to do something on sensing the Spirit's breath. But I want to start there, because that's where David's preaching next week, and it seems a very good link from resurrection. The fearful crowd of disciples wondering, what on earth are we going to do? You know, we've had Jesus with us, and he's been this, and he's done these fantastic things. What next? And Jesus comes and he says, "Oh, by the way, receive my Spirit." Go out. And that was it. And I was kind of closing my eyes and thinking, "Wow, I wonder what that felt like. That must have been something, mustn't it?" I mean, they knew it was Jesus because they'd seen, he showed them his hands and his side. But what must that have felt like, to just receive his breath? So the we all, probably most of us here, know about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being breathed on. Just put your hand or a finger up. If you don't like putting your hands up, just show me if you had an experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit at some particular point. Yes, majority of people. And there was a time, perhaps, when you had an experience of being absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit. You had a real manifestation. Maybe you spoke in tongues, or maybe you prophesied. Maybe you felt wonderfully warm. Would anybody just like to say, call out what happened to them?
I've been desperate to have the Holy Spirit sort of overpower me, as it were. I've been to Spring Harvest, and I'd seen someone there, and I'd been prayed for. And like you were saying, breathing, he said, "You're breathing out. You need to receive from the Holy Spirit being breathed out, not you doing it." So I'm sitting at home, and all of a sudden I just sense this presence.
That's it, isn't it?
And it was amazing.
When you say you sensed the presence, how did it feel?
I felt quite... almost like tears welling up with inside for me.
Yeah.
But it's different for different people, I think. You know. But I just really sense that closeness and warmth of God's presence with me and comforting me at that time.
And can anybody else, you know, say they felt something tangible, a sense of something special happen when the Spirit breathed on them? because you felt his greatness and you felt your, yeah. Yes, I think I was 16 and the same. I was so determined. I think I'd gone to this healing meeting, you know, week in, week out, and I just wanted what they had. And I just went up every time, and then, yes, one day. You just can't describe it, can you? Cannot describe it. So a lot of us can talk about having the Holy Spirit breathed on us, but it's a regular thing. It's never just a one-off. You know, we don't just have one experience of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathes us. We don't have Jesus here, but we have the Spirit of Jesus. And that means, you know, we do the greater things than he said, that he did. He promised we'll do greater things. So just briefly, I'm just going to go through a few almost practical things, and then I want to do something from Ezekiel about the bones, and just read that over, and then maybe we'll pray the Holy Spirit on us all and take communion. Is that okay? Or do it after. So just drawing attention to verse 29, something that Jesus said. He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." That was a verse that really stuck out to me when I was reading this. It was like, we are really blessed because we haven't actually got Jesus here. We are blessed. We're blessed because we've got the Holy Spirit. I just want to say that in a revelatory way. We are blessed because we haven't seen Jesus, but we believe. We're blessed. That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful word, isn't it? We believe, but we don't see Jesus. And that's a powerful word. I think when he said that, blessed are those who have seen, who haven't seen, but they believe. And that's all of us. So we're blessed because we have the Spirit. I think we can learn to sense the Spirit of God. We can go on the Holy Spirit sensing university course. I've been there. I've been doing it since I was 16, but I've been doing it in a much more intentional way for the last 7 or 8 years. I've walked close and talked to him, and you know what it's like when you talk to somebody, and you a very good friend or your husband or your wife, you talk to them all the time and you spend time with them, you have meals with them, you get to know how they think and act and speak. And that has how I have got to know the Holy Spirit. Because I just talk to him and I listen to him and I prod him and I keep pressing in. All I have, you know, I'm not all the time, not all the time. But I believe we can go onto the university of learning to sense the Holy Spirit, only if we want to. And I'll talk about the what ifs and what cost does that mean in a second. So it's as simple as that. Chatting to him, spending time with him, hanging out with him. Not so easy when you've got 3 small children, I know. I remember when I had 3 small children, when I had, many years ago, grandmother now, they all used to go to sleep about 6. Sorry. But they were just all in bed by 6. And when David was looking after them, they were in bed about 5. And I used to say, "Where's the children?" He said, "Oh, they were tired." What, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Anyway, don't tell him I told you. And then we didn't have a television, and I just would spend the evening wanting more of God and asking him and looking in the Word and praying and walking around and praying in tongues and singing and worshipping. So the more we spend time with the Holy Spirit, the more we're going to be able to sense his presence all the time. We'll be able to sense his presence whether we're sitting at a desk at the office, whether we're looking after our kids, whether we're cooking, or whether we're just in the shop. We will do it just as much as we sense the presence of our friend or our husband or our wife. It's as simple as that. It's not a big, massive, weird and wacky thing out there that only a handful of very spiritual people have. We can all sense the Spirit of God, and we can learn. We can go into the university of the sensing the Spirit of Spirit's breath. And then you begin to, when you meet people, you begin to speak from the Spirit's breath. You begin to say things. You begin to say things which are spot on in their lives. And, you know, you see people opening up much quicker when you operate in the breath of the Spirit of God. The thing I do is dream interpretations, and that's been the PhD. That's probably the hardest thing on the planet. That's been very hard, but it opens up so much. So if somebody just happens to say, even a non-Christian I met, they just tell me a dream, or they just say it, you can, when you interpret the dream, you can bring so much of the Spirit straight away into someone's life, and they realize who they are in Christ. It's just an example. So what does it entail? Just sort of a few things here. What does it entail? What are we not doing that we maybe could do to help? Excuse me. Hang out. Read Acts. Spend time worshipping, listening to worship songs. You know, worship brings the presence of God. Did you sense how the Spirit came? It was quiet. It took a while, didn't it? It took a while this evening. But then when we came, which song did you think? Did you suddenly feel the presence of the Spirit of God?
Oceans.
Which one?
Oceans. Right?
Yes, exactly. That was the difference. We were singing, we were getting into that place of praise, but suddenly when we sang that, especially when Kate sang that, we suddenly felt, didn't we? Something happened, and that was entering into the presence of, that is the breath of the Spirit of God. I've written here, we should be prepared to go against the flow. You know, we live in a society where it's so tangible. It's everything that we see and understand and feel and know scientifically or whatever. To do spirit stuff, you kind of have to go against the flow of what is obvious and what is known. You kind of have to push through. And it can be a bit of a fear barrier because it's a trust thing. It's a trust issue. So Dave's nodding so he understands what I'm saying. I think the whole of society, we live in a very difficult society to live a spiritual being. So I've got a bit of a quote here, which somebody just texted me just before I came out. Pretty amazing. Are we earthly beings having a spiritual experience, or are we spiritual beings having an earthly experience? Quite like that. And it's difficult in a world where everything's, tangible, isn't it, to live by the flow of this Holy Spirit. So you have to kind of press through, and you have to go against the flow of the river at times. You have to be prepared to press in to know more. And sometimes God takes us out of our comfort zones and says things which we think, really? What, really? And you have to test it, scripture. So be prepared to go out of your comfort zones. If you have lots of dreams, go on a dreams course and start learning what God is saying. He's speaking to loads of people in dreams at the moment, masses of people, young and old, Joel, people dream dreams and see visions, loads of people having dreams. God is giving strategy through dreams at the moment. We don't have to just use our, we do obviously use our brain. Our brain is, the Holy Spirit uses our brain, but he gives a kind of alongside that a different kind of strategy, and he may be giving it to you through dreams. Sensings and words and pictures, and I've often found that God gives me things that I don't quite understand because he wants me to press in and keep going, like Dave said and Jill Murray said about, when you want to be filled with the Spirit, he might give you a picture or something you don't quite know. You know it's really important and relevant, but you don't quite know what it means. Now, you could just leave it on the side of the plate, couldn't you? Or you could keep on and niggle away at him until you understand what he's saying. That's what I mean when I say press in. Don't give up too easily. Don't say, oh, it's all too hard, this heart, this spirit stuff. If you want to. Only if you want to. I think it has to be an if you want to. To be honest, nobody can tell you and make you do it. You have to, you do it if you want to. Step out of your comfort zone. Sometimes, we haven't got time to do it now, but sometimes, God might say, give you a word for somebody, and you are a little anxious about it, but unless you say it, Unless you go to somebody and say, the Lord loves you, and what have you got around your neck? What colour? Blue. You see something. See, I don't know why, I just suddenly saw, sorry, what's your name? I forget. Naomi. I saw Naomi's necklace, and it is the cross, but it's just really long. It's just really long, and it's sparkly and blue. And the Lord's given me something. He'll tell me in a minute. It's brewing. So, you know, something can stop you in your tracks, and you just go, oh, really? What, really, God? Go on. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes we just have to ask for a deeper revelation. You know, we've had the revelation that we've had for many, many years. We understand to a certain level, but we're not satisfied anymore. We want to understand and have a deeper revelation of the Spirit's breath. And the only way to do it is to push in and press in and fast and pray. Sometimes we have to. Sometimes he gives us a deeper revelation of Scripture than we've ever understood before. I've found that in recent years. Given a completely new edge to Scripture. It's so exciting. Sometimes he wants us to put seeking his breath and sensing his breath before other things. We have to make a sacrifice of time and energy. Something about length of time and what you're wearing. Length of time. I think the Lord is saying that, Naomi, that there is a given length of time for what you've been seeking. A given length of time. Something you've been seeking, being asking. And it's this unfolding of, you know, a deeper revelation. And it's all about making Jesus famous. Making him like a celebrity. It's making Jesus a celebrity where you function, where you live and work and have your being. Maybe you have a desire to really talk about Jesus, and it's that thing about making him a celebrity. And there's a special passage of time for this. I don't know what that's about, but I'll just leave that with you there. And finally, we were talking about history. We may well have to lay down preconceptions, things we've already... You know, I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 16. So I was kind of, you know, part of a movement. We've all been brought... Do you know what I mean by there's movements, aren't there? Throughout history, there's movements of... you know, there was the John Wimber and various churches get touched by different movements that are going on. But I think sometimes we have to lay down preconceptions or even history of when God was working in a certain way and let him do his thing, which is now, which is fresh. And I think this is a real word for people here and for me. Fresh. Not, it doesn't look like it's looked before. It may look a little bit like it, or it may look a lot like it, but there's something fresh, and we have to dig fresh wells. And we have to lay down preconceptions and history to move into the time of the now. Right, Ezekiel, where are you? You're here. So I think I just want to, I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray and prophesy this over us all, really. This is Ezekiel 37. It's all about the it's a prophecy that Ezekiel had, and I'm going to just make it relevant to now. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Oh Lord God, you know. Oh Lord God, you know that these bones," and I'm not just saying us, "but you know that these bones can live. You know that these dry bones can come together." I believe that. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" I just want to prophesy that over us all. If you want to receive, and do. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, the now word, 2015, April the 5th. "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, a covering, and put breath in you, and you shall live." And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, sinews on them, flesh on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, man, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.'" As I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Let's just receive that prophetic word, shall we? And, you know, Lord, we receive your breath, your fresh breath, your breath on our bones, and the sinews coming into it, and the skin covering us. That seems really important. But we receive your breath, and we'll stand and go out and serve the Lord.